Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 812. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, a co-host of the show, and also a special guest. But let's start with the crew here. We have Pete in the house. Pete!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, man. Birthday week, right?
Yeah, yeah. Official birthday is Tuesday, but we got it cracking as of yesterday. Awesome, man. Had a really good weekend. Got out to go do the Jaguar Electrifies event down in Miami, Florida. Went out to Wynwood and got to drive the new F-Pace SUV. Got to drive the E-Pace on a closed circuit. So as of yesterday afternoon, I was 26 out of 185 racers on that circuit. So it was really dope.
Nice, nice. And also joining us this week is Paris. What's up, Paris? Hey. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, man. How was your trip, man? How was your trip overall, man? That looked like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, it was a blast. You know, I kind of touched on a little bit on the previous episode, but it was great. You know, always getting a chance to, you know, play the game and do all that. Battlefield 5 is an amazing title, but like I always say, it's the people that make trips like that great. So met a lot of amazing people that are in the Battlefield, you know, EA Game Changer program, and you know, made some new friends out of that, which is always good. And then, of course, I'm there with Hip Hop Gamer, and he is entertaining all by himself. So
one way of putting it.
So that was good too. Yep.
And we have also a special guest here, Mandy, aka Lady Luck. What's up? What's up, Mandy?
Doing good. It's cold here, unlike the rest of you in warm places.
So what made you want to join this episode? Because I know you hit us up on Twitter.
Mostly just to pick a fight with Paris, just because. But
okay, there you go. That's a sneak peek for later on.
Sneak peek for later on. There might be arguing.
Yeah. All right, cool, cool. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. You could also listen to the podcast, different podcast apps. Spotify, iTunes, you know, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe and share with your friends.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so yesterday was XO18. I watched the whole presentation. It was like about like what, 2 hours or so. Any of you got to watch it live or just read like the announcements or anything?
I caught up on it afterwards.
Yeah.
I saw bits and pieces live. You know, like I said, I was at my son's game, so I was just peeking in and out when I had a chance. But yeah, I've seen all the information since.
Yeah. So I'll start with this. I was checking out like the reactions from you know, Twitter, and a lot of people were, you know, were saying that it's not like E3 and they should have more announcements. And then I started comparing previous XO events from way back in the days, from the original Xbox to now. This one had the most announcements out of all the XOs, so that was good. They also had two studio announcements, which was big. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But yeah, the thing that it started the show like with this was, yeah, you get PUBG, you get all these other games, you get Crackdown. They were really pushing Game Pass from the beginning to the show all the way to the end, man. So that's really, really cool. One announcement that got my attention was Hellblade, that I've never played that game. I know it was released for previously for the PlayStation 4. And then it came out for the Xbox, but yeah, it's also going to be available for Game Pass. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to try it out for the first time, because I have Game Pass. I'm thinking, what other announcements, man? Yeah, they show a new Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer. That was really cool. Mouse and keyboard update coming up next week for Xbox One users. I mean, I'm not into that. That's if you guys.
I was gonna say, because if you were gonna feign excitement about keyboard and mouse,
Xbox, you're an imposter.
Really, Danny?
not my thing. Not my thing at all. But I could see why other people would like it. You know what I'm saying? Now they announced a couple of games that's already gonna be available once the update goes live next week, and Fortnite is one of them. So that's cool. Now I'm wondering how's that gonna work, man? Because if I have a controller and I'm playing with another Xbox player online, but they have mouse and keyboard, isn't that kind of like unfair because of the mouse?
I mean,
and keyboard.
I guess it could be, but I think it's. I'm assuming it's going to be similar to PC games that the developer has to code in support for a controller. So it's like, hey, you're choosing to use a controller on your PC when everybody else is mouse and keyboard. It's just, you know, pros and cons.
Yeah. They also made a quick announcement that Razer is going to be their partner, exclusive partner for, you know, mouse and keyboard. They're going to have some products announcement, I believe, at CES early next year. So, but overall, guys, what are your thoughts about this, man, about XO18 overall?
I feel like it's in line with what kind of the message that Xbox has been sending for the past year plus, which is that they're really focused on supporting, you know, expansions and DLCs for their first party titles, and then really trying to drive people towards this being their system for multiplats, either through Game Pass or by, you know, partnering and showing off stuff from third party developers. So there wasn't really any surprise. But it also was like, if you're already in on Xbox, this just supports it. If you aren't, I don't really feel like there was a ton here that pushed you to say, I should have an Xbox.
Now, when you say there was no surprise, studio announcements, that was huge. That was a big, that was a pretty big announcement.
I mean, it is, but they've announced studio announcements the last few times as well. So I look at it and be like, oh, great. You know, like, it's super exciting that they have Obsidian, for example, because I, you know, knowing what Obsidian has done, you're like, oh, this is going to be neat. But then at the same time, you're like purchasing a studio and having that studio turn around and put something out that drives people to want your platform is two different things. Because I mean, look what's happened with like Rare and Sea of Thieves. It got a lot of attention. It's still getting good support, but it wasn't like the game changer for people to want Xbox. And it's just a long time coming. Like, this is them playing the long game. This is them saying, hey, we haven't built as many first party studios as some of our other partners have, or some of our other competition. So we're going to bring in these studios into our family. And then in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the line in the next gen, they're going to be ready to deliver. So it's neat to see, but it's not a game changer right now.
Yeah, and they mentioned, we talked about the Obsidian thing about a month ago after that news dropped. The In Exile Entertainment, I think, was, if it's going to be a surprise, it would be that one, because we didn't anticipate that studio would have been picked up.
Well, let's be real. It got leaked. The Obsidian news, it got leaked because...
Right, because Kotaku Kotaku talked about it last month, but... And we talked about it briefly here on the show as well. The In Exile Entertainment Group was the one that we didn't anticipate or didn't figure out or assume that would be purchased. But I agree with Mandy. I don't think that anything came out of this one as groundbreaking.
No.
I disagree with you guys.
Of course you disagree. But my opinion on this is pretty simple.
Because it's the truth. I'll tell you why. But go ahead.
Well... Yeah, I just want to give my opinion. That's all. And then you can disagree with all three of us. But I mean, it's none of this is surprising of what came out of this event, nor was this event. No one going into this event should have thought big major announcements was coming out of this. This is not what this is for. It's very similar to what Sony does with PlayStation Experience, right? The heavy emphasis was on, again, their services, Game Pass. Big push for Game Pass, more announcements for games that are going to be a part of Game Pass, obviously showing off, you know, the multiplayer mode for Crackdown 3 and pushing up the release date was big for them because it's showing confidence in that title, which I think is great.
Finally releasing.
Yeah, exactly. But my thing is, and I've said this for the longest, it's not about 2018. It's not about 2019 for Microsoft. It's about getting to 2020 and beyond, because that's when they're going to push their new hardware. That's when their services are going to kind of hit their peak of maturity. And they're gearing up for that next generation of gaming. That's why you're seeing this heavy emphasis on Game Pass right now. They want to get people used to subscribing to play in their games. And they want to give you compelling reasons to want to subscribe. So, sure, put PUBG on there. Obviously, all the new Microsoft first-party titles are going on there. And if they're able to get certain third-party partners to also join them on Game Pass, that's just a win for them. I've said it a million times. For $10 a month, $120 a year, Game Pass is a great value. And Microsoft is leading what is going to be the future of consuming gaming content via subscription. That's what's happening right now. And I'm not saying it's happening anytime soon, but eventually you're going to see their competitors do the same thing. I mean, EA is already doing something kind of sort of with Origin Premier. You know, but you're going to see more publishers go to the subscription model, because once you get hooked under that subscription, now that's a solid number that they can depend on every month, every year of you picking up, you know, of you subscribing to their games. I just think it's a great value. I think we both win in that scenario.
See, like, Paris, I know during E3, you said that that was like one of your favorite press conferences that happened earlier this year. With Microsoft, and the reason was, you know, the future, they had a lot of studio announcements, right? And the majority, actually, maybe like 100% of the announcements from the studio announcements at E3, it wasn't leaked. That was the first time that Microsoft announced that at E3, right? But I think that if it wasn't for the Obsidian getting leaked to Kotaku, I think they would have a bigger impact at XO. But now that everybody knows, not everybody, but you know, the people that read it on at Kotaku, then yeah, it wasn't a big announcement because it got leaked. So I think as an overall presentation, yeah, it was good. It wasn't no E3, but yo, they had some big announcements, I think, at this event, man. You know, especially PUBG coming to Game Pass. And the reason why that's happening is because the rumor is PUBG is coming out with PlayStation 4 next month, and they're going to announce that during Game Awards. So that's the rumor. But the studio announcement, I think that was huge, man. I think it was really, really big, in my opinion, man. You know, at previous, if you check out like the history of other XO events, Microsoft will always just announce maybe a game or two. This is the first time in their history of all the XO events that they announce multiple studio announcements.
How many people are comparing it to old XO events?
Exactly.
I guess, like, my thought was, is like, honestly, I forgot it was happening yesterday until I saw people tweeting about it. Hold on. And then, and then it was one of those where it's like, okay, I kind of expected it to be like PlayStation Experience or something. There'd be a couple announcements. So it's just one of those that, you know, big is relative. Like, yeah, it's super neat that they got In Exile and Obsidian, and it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. But right now, it's just going, oh, that's neat. I'm not going to run out and buy an Xbox because of it.
That's,
so I guess that's like
that's the
game changer that I would expect here is, did they put out something that people were suddenly like, dude, I need an Xbox right now? Everything else, again, is the long game. It's getting people to be thinking about what's down the line and will probably be most impactful for them in the next generation of their consoles.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not about whether we knew about Obsidian ahead of time or not. Sure, that's freaking great. Obsidian, you know, one of the best game studios out there, period. It's now a part of Microsoft. You're now going to see an exclusive Western RPG type game exclusive to Xbox. That's great. But that does nothing in 2018. Yeah, nothing in 2018 or 19.
I'm not saying
no,
that.
But that's the point. You keep, oh, this is a big deal. Sure, but it doesn't affect anyone today. This is something, the first Obsidian game you're most likely going to see is, what, 2021 at the earliest. So that doesn't do anything to get anyone to buy an Xbox today. Again, Microsoft has tapped on this generation. They are, all these announcements, everything they're doing is about the future. It's not about the present anymore.
they interviewed Phil at the event very quick, and he's always throwing some hints on what's coming, and he talked a lot about Windows, that, you know, the feedback about the Xbox app, a lot of people don't like it.
He said
they're really working on that to make some changes. They're making some changes in that, so that's cool.
Well, they're making changes to the store, because trying to buy a game on the PC through the marketplace versus trying to buy it on the Xbox marketplace are two totally disparate environments right now. Like, trying to go through the Windows store to find the games that you had already purchased to maybe reinstall it or to install it for the first time is a chore. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, makes me not want to play Xbox games on the PC.
Yes, like, I have legitimately skipped a couple of the first party titles that I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy it, because I just didn't want to have to deal with buying it through the Windows store.
Yeah, it damages the fan-friendly nature of what Game Pass is supposed to be by making it inherently difficult to access via the Windows Store. So I, if there's anybody that can do it, obviously, you know, Phil Spencer has been really, really good at transforming, you know, what Xbox has been about over the last couple of years. And I'm glad to hear that aside from Xbox Game Pass and stuff, you know, that whole thing, I'm glad to see that they're actually acknowledging the PC, you know, component of their fan base to try to make it easier, because quite frankly, I have Game Pass as well, but it makes me not want to try to go and peruse through that thing to try to get, if they could tie it to the Xbox app, that would make things that much easier, because I could just go through the Xbox app, click, you know, the game, give me a buy button or give me an install button from there, because it's already installed on my PC by default, and we go from there. But if it forces me to go into the store, I'd rather not.
Yeah, skip, pass.
Mm-hmm. I wish that they should have showed a couple games like Battletoads, maybe the new Cuphead DLC that they were planning to release soon.
It's not what this event was for, though.
But Battletoads.
No, I know.
Your dream came true.
I mean, I'm saying like... That would have been cool, but I think they're going to save that for maybe Video Game Awards, or because Microsoft did announce that they're bringing back Winter of Arcade. So I'm excited about that, because do you remember the old Summer of Arcade? That was a lot of fun. They were always releasing some great games at that time. So yeah, we'll see, man. I think they're going to have a couple cool games there, man, for the winter.
And because I have to talk about it, I know you mentioned it briefly, the PUBG going to PlayStation 4 thing. How valid is that? How legitimate is that potential leak that is going to PlayStation, especially with Microsoft saying, look, it's coming to Game Pass, you know, in a couple of months or whatever, or coming soon?
Well, the exclusive contract is already done. Like, I know it was only for a year. Now the game is already out retail wise. So for the Xbox, so it's going to be the same thing for PlayStation. Now the way I found out about that is because Amazon already posted it. There's a page that says December 8th, and that's the same day as the Game Awards. There you go.
Yeah, I think so, I saw it as like it was a retailer listing is what I saw.
Right.
That one too. Yeah. I mean, there was other leaks, but the way how I found out was through the Amazon website. So, I mean, now is that going to help them big time to
right,
battle
but
out?
Again,
like,
that's just a retailer listing. That's not actual confirmation that it's being done. I'm not trying to act as an apologist for it. I'm just curious, because unless there is the agreement, and obviously we haven't heard about it, games on Game Pass traditionally wouldn't be on a third-party platform, right? Or on a competitor platform.
Traditionally, but don't they have a few that they've like gotten a couple of third-party maybe indies or something to...
Well, I know, like Final Fantasy, like I think they're going to unlock the entire collection or something like that, or like a large gamut of the collection on Game Pass. But I just find it very, very awkward that they're going to have this available on Game Pass. It's allegedly their console exclusive. Extremely surprised that they haven't locked that down for exclusivity, because, you know, with everything that they're trying to do, and that they're, I don't understand why Sony is honestly accepting it to get onto their platform with as many bugs as it's had from the console perspective, and I don't know how they're going to make it any better.
It's the name. It's the name of the game, man. That, you know, the brand PUBG, it's pretty big for Sony. They would like to have that, man. You know, and it's great for the developers too to really release it there, because look at Fortnite, look at Blackout, these other games that is available in every other console and PC, but not PUBG. I think this is going to help them, man. You know what I'm saying? To release it on the PlayStation. So that's just. And let's see what else, man. Is there any? Oh, by the way, this is a topic that I really want to talk about with El Señor Paris. Oh. Paris, what's up, man? By the way, so here is an article that I know I brought it up in our chat, but I definitely want to hear your opinion about this. Activision had a conference call a couple days ago, you know, the earning call that happens all the quarterly throughout the year. But they say that Activision says that it's not happy with Destiny sales. So as a fan, what are your thoughts about that, man? What was it that hurt this game? Since the release.
First and foremost, I'm not surprised at all that Activision was disappointed with sales. I think Forsaken, I saw somewhere it came in as eighth best-selling title for the month of September, something like that. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They screwed the pooch a year ago with Vanilla Destiny 2, and then along with the subsequent DLCs that came out. They lost the trust of the community, period, point blank. We've talked about this a million times, so I won't go over it too much other than to simply say they made Destiny 2 more skewed towards a casual audience, which pissed off the hardcore audience. You bogged it down with different microtransactions and other things to try and push people to buy things out of Eververse, and they lost the community. They did. That's just a fact. Forsaken is the fix for that. Forsaken is a fantastic expansion for Destiny 2. It got Destiny back to what made Destiny good, which is making it that investment hobby type of game where you're grinding, you're chasing things. You know, the raid was fantastic, things like that. But it takes time. There was no way that you could expect everyone to, after getting, you got burnt once with Destiny 1 where it took the Taken King to fix that. So then you took everything great out of Destiny 1 and stripped it out going into Destiny 2. So you burned the community twice. A lot of people are just done and they're not coming back. And sure, the hardcore people like me, we're still there. We still play. But the on the fence people, the casual audience, it's going to take a lot for them to come back, and Forsaken is just step one in that process. Now we got to see, you know, what is this first DLC that's going to come out in December? What is that going to look like for season 5? What is the DLC that's going to come out in spring? What is that going to look like? They got to keep this content rolling. They got to keep earning the trust back of the community. And the fact that, because Luke Smith even came out and tweeted something. I'll read exactly what he said. He goes, Luke Smith says, "We are not disappointed with Forsaken. We set out to build a game that Destiny players would love, and at Bungie, we love it too. Building Destiny for players who love it is and will remain our focus going forward." And that is 100% what it needs to be. They need to make Destiny for people like me, not for people like Mandy.
Wow.
Right? Because hear me out for just a second. Because chasing Mandy is pointless, because if you get Mandy, sure, Mandy will check it out for a month, maybe, and then she's gone. She's off to playing other stuff. Same with, you know, people like Danny. You're gone. You're not going to stick around. I'm the guy that's going to stick around. So you need to build a game that's going to excite me so that I'm on social media tweeting about it. I'm streaming it. I'm doing capture videos, all this stuff, right? I'm the person you want. I'm not even obviously as a content creator, but even just a hardcore average player. You want to chase that guy that wants to be a Sherpa to take people through a raid, or you know, it's constantly on there grinding for stuff. Those, you need to make that game. And that's what I think Bungie's going back to. And I've said this conspiracy theory a million times. Bungie's out after Destiny 3. I'm telling you right now, they're going to launch Destiny 3, and then they're going to hand this over to Vicarious Visions, and they're gone. Because the reason being is No, I will not sit down, Mandy. No. Because the reason being is Activision, with them coming out with this call saying they're disappointed with the sales of Forsaken and that they want to find other ways to monetize it, that's the problem right there. They're going to – I'm not saying that Bungie's going to do this. Who knows what's going to happen? But it's straining the relationship between Bungie and Activision in that if you try to bog down Destiny 2 again with a bunch of, you know, microtransaction stuff and pushing people towards Eververse and things like that, that's just going to piss off the hardcore audience again. Casual audience isn't going to come back and you're going to be left with a dead IP. And I'll say this and I'll shut up. As much as I love this game, and you know how much I love this game, so much so, I think I'm tapping on the PlayStation 4 for good and I'm going to go full PC at this point. Mm-hmm. But as much as I love this game, I feel that the IP may have been damaged to the point that it's never going to fully recover at this point. I just do. We'll see what the future holds. Yeah, I agree. We'll see what the future holds. I mean, I'm going to continue to play. I'm going to continue to love it and do all that stuff. But I don't know. I think Destiny is number wise may have already seen its peak. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you on that. I think they took a hit that is going to be hard for even the casual people to come back and reconsider Destiny in the future, whether it's an expansion or whether it's, you know, Destiny 3. Now that I have my chair back.
But see, the Paris was saying that to make the hardcore fans happy. Yeah, that's great for Bungie, not great for Activision, because Activision is all about the money. They just want to get more money, not only from Call of Duty, but also from this franchise. So I don't know. I think after a while, we might see a major change. Like you said, Bungie's probably going to be done after 3, and Activision is going to get new developers then instead of having Bungie to work on it.
Yeah, but does Bungie who owns the Destiny IP? Bungie does, right?
They do, but there's ways you can negotiate.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it might just be Halo again, where they get to the end and say, here you go, we'll sell you the IP and move on. Yep. That said, I am interested to see how it goes with Activision making Destiny 2 on PC. Like, I was able to, like, add it to my account, the base game on battle.net for free. And so I wonder if they're going to be able to, like, hook people in to be like, oh, I guess I'll try it. And then be like, oh, I need the DLC or the expansion to make it worth something. And see if that gives them, like, a turnaround to people coming back in.
Well, that's their hope. Their hope is that's why you can get it free on PlayStation Plus right now. And then obviously they're doing a thing during the month of November. You can get it free on Battle.net for the PC is give them the base game. First hit is free, right? And hopefully the way that the game is structured right now, you'll basically fall in love with it and enjoy doing the activities in Destiny 2. And you go, oh, wait, I want to continue this. And then you go pick up Forsaken. That's their hope with doing this. I'm not 100% sure that's going to work.
I added it to my account. I haven't actually installed it or done anything yet. So,
because here's the problem. Here's the problem with Destiny's pricing model right now. Yeah, you have to go pick up Forsaken is a $40 investment, which, okay, ton of content. It is absolutely worth the $40. Black Armory, which is the first piece of DLC that comes out with an annual pass, is in December. So that's the next thing that you're going to have to do. Guess what? Annual pass is $30. So you're going to have to invest $70 into Destiny 2 to continue playing that game over the next calendar year. Mm. A lot of people's not going to do that. There's Red Dead out there. There's, you know, Call of Duty, Battlefield's out. Hell, you got the Murderer's Row that's going to drop in the spring of games. There's a lot
there's
of freaking games.
There's a six-week period that's terrible. Pokemon next week, Smash in December.
Yeah, a ton. Smash. But the thing is this. Destiny was a unicorn back in 2014. There was nothing else like it, right? But now as we go into 2019, there's Anthem. There's The Division, you know. Obviously, there's all these other titles that are out there. There's all these excellent open world type games that give you a ton of things to do and to chase now. So Destiny isn't as unique as it was 4 years ago. So with that said, and you've burned your community a couple times. So you start adding all that stuff up. Where's my incentive to want to continue to invest a bunch of money into your IP? There isn't. because I have choices. There's other things I can be playing in and investing my money into. So they have it's an uphill battle for them to regain the trust of the community. And like I said, I guarantee you there are people that were hardcore into Destiny a couple years ago that are simply not coming back. Trust me, I've had offline conversations with some of the bigger streamers out there, and some of them have moved to Fortnite, and while they may still love Destiny, that's not where they make their money anymore. Yeah. Their money's in Fortnite and other games. So guess what? Those are the games they're going to highlight on their streams. And I think that has a lot to do with it too. If Destiny is no longer the preferred game to stream, then there you go. You're going to lose audience right there, because the people that watch these top streamers, they're not playing Destiny anymore. They're playing other things. So then because they see their favorite streamer playing Red Dead or Fortnite or whatever, they're probably going to go play that too. And you know, just real quick, and I'll be quiet again. The Fortnite phenomenon is another thing that is completely screwing Destiny right now and other games, because it's free to play. And the only money that you put into it is the money that you want to put into it. You're not forced to spend money to be able to play that game and enjoy it. And I think that's another big thing too.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They'll strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. And on top of that, their simple and intuitive clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way is an excellent opportunity for you to get into investing. So I've been using Robinhood for about a year and a half, and I think it's really, really great, especially when you're just trying to get your, you know, you're just trying to dip your feet into, you know, stocks and things like that. It's super easy to read. You can, you know, you can pull up the app, go into the stocks that you're interested in, and whenever you're ready, just click the buy button. The other cool thing about that is that there's no cost or commission fees. So like if you're trying to use other, you know, other types of options or brokerages, they'll usually charge you for every trade. Robinhood doesn't charge you commission fees or any of that. So you get to keep any and all profit you make on the application. On top of that, Robinhood is giving users or listeners of Gamertag Radio a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up now at gamertag.robinhood.com. That's gamertag.robinhood.com.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
P&E, any opinion about this?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the opportunity to download it on Battle.net and get it for free does help. Just playing with friends, they have mentioned, yeah, I put it up on my Battle.net account. So that, you know, it gives them a chance to actually play it and check it out and see if they're actually interested. Whether it holds their attention for an extended period of time and, like Paris said, draws them into the DLC ecosystem remains to be seen. People love free games until it's not free anymore. And so it'll be interesting to see how many people actually start to gravitate towards Destiny 2 on PC because it was free, and whether they stick around or not. I'm curious to see what or how a third title will do. Is it worth Activision's while, and is it worth Bungie's while? They'll want to do it, but is it worth the time sink investment from both sides, from the developer as well as the consumer, to go that route? There's always that question, especially now, like Paris said. Their consumer base, their core consumer base, the ones that they're supposed to be targeting, are burnt. Do they want to do this for a third time? Do they want to jump back into that, knowing that they're going to, or with the feeling that they will get burnt again? And it's like, how many times can you continue to do that to your player base before they just turn around and say, "We give up. We love you, but we can't do this anymore." It's kind of like having that crazy ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend. Like, you love them and you keep coming back, but it's like, they're still crazy. So
yeah, that's so funny. But another thing that helped the original Destiny, and I mentioned this to Paris a couple of days ago, is that it was also available for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. A lot of people have those consoles too. So, of course, it makes sense that the original Destiny had more sales than this one. You know, so I think the only way that can help them maybe for the next generation console is release 3 on the new consoles, right? The next PlayStation, the next Xbox, but also have it available for their for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 and PC. Do you think that's going to be enough, Paris? Do you think that's going to help Bungie and Activision with the sales if that happens?
Well, I'm sure, again, we're probably looking at 2020 for Destiny 3. I highly doubt it's going to be this, you know, September 2019. So let's say September 2020, it'll come out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And then we know PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox is probably, what, November of 2020. So then it'll be available on that as well. Probably have whatever enhancements, and it'll be the same thing that we're talking about the previous generation when Destiny 1 came out. Yeah, there'll be more people probably picking it up because, again, Destiny 3, new IP, sequel thing, blah, 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 probably more hardcore, whatever. But I think for what Activision is expecting Destiny to sell like Call of Duty, in my opinion. That's not going to happen anymore. It's not.
It's a different type of game. It doesn't have the same history. I mean, as you said, like one of the things that made Destiny successful out of the gate was it was the first thing Bungie had done post Halo. So like there, you know, there was this idea that everybody had these like this great vision of what it could be, and everybody had faith on what Bungie was going to deliver. I remember having arguments with people that they're like, yeah, the story is going to be great. And I'm like, nope, I have my questions and things like that. So you kind of came in with a blank slate, whereas now you're talking about sequels. That's not the case anymore because everybody has now played Destiny 1. They've seen Destiny 2. Destiny 3 is like, can you convince people that assuming that this will close out a trilogy, that they need to play that third game.
Yeah, it's and going back to something Pete said, it's a fine line because, or maybe Mandy said this, apologies, but it's a fine line of bringing in the casual audience, but also appeasing the hardcore. You know, I've had multiple conversations over the past year about this with Destiny and just the approach that they need to go. And a lot of people that I've talked to, we all agree, just double down on the people that you can depend on, which is your hardcore audience, which is, if you look at Forsaken, that's the steps that they're taking now. They're making this a hardcore game, which, yeah, in turn is going to turn off the casual audience, which in turn means it's not going to sell on a Call of Duty level. And I just think for the health of the IP and for the game and just for the community that they've built around the game, that's the approach they need to do. And if the rumors are true about Destiny 3, they're going to double down even more on making this a hardcore experience, making this more of an RPG experience, which is what I want it to be, which is what I've always wanted it to be since I first heard about this game in 2013. I love doing raids and all that stuff, and it's great, and it's some of the best cooperative experiences you can have in gaming. But we've been doing it for 4 years now. We got to do something more. There has to be a next step with this IP. And the only way you're going to get there is to make it more hardcore. So I hope that's what happens. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. I said, it just sounds like at the end of the day, the relationship between Activision and Bungie is just going to continue to be strained. And I said, it's going to reach a breaking point. And at some point, Bungie is going to leave the franchise. And similar to what Halo, hand it off to the publisher. They're already taking steps to start up a new IP, and that's just what I think they're going to do in the next generation. They're going to finish this one, then move on to their next IP, you know, post-2020.
They got to pick a lane. Come on.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. Anything else, guys? I know Black Friday is coming up very soon. Are you guys planning to pick up any new games, any new consoles, anything?
I may, and I don't think it's going to go on sale, but it'll probably be post-Black Friday I'll get Red Dead at some point. You know, but I was looking to see if maybe I might get lucky and see a deal during Black Friday, and so far the leaks, I'm not seeing any.
Yeah, it's too close to the release.
I really doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. Yeah, I doubt it.
Rockstar is so confident with that game, they're like, yeah, we're not. No, we're good. We're going to keep it the same.
And they're selling on it. So I don't think I have anything that's like, I did all of my like major Black Friday shopping last year, like bought the TV, all of those things. So I think for me, it's just getting to a couple of these last releases for the year, you know, Pokemon next week, Smash in the beginning of December, you know, so it's less about like sales and more about like things that I want. Please come out.
What about you, P? Are you planning to get anything?
I'm still on the fence. Obviously, I know the joke, the running joke is, you know, I'm going to be sitting there like Squidward looking out the window. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I don't know if I'm having FOMO anymore. And, you know, the wait for PC has kind of quelled the desire to have that game. Right. So I don't see myself as missing it as much. And I know, Paris, you and I were chatting about this, you know, briefly before we went live. Fallout 76 may have been the one that actually did that for me, having played the beta over the last couple of opportunities that it went live, really, really kind of quelled that thirst for the Red Dead Redemption, kind of similar, gives me that same action-adventure exploration vibe without having to go with the whole Cowboys and Indians experience. I'm just fine. I and again, I haven't played Red Dead Redemption, so I don't know, but I always appreciate a good co-op experience sometimes over a single player, and Fallout 76 gives me that. So at this point, no, I don't see myself going towards Red Dead Redemption, and it gives me time to actually wait for the PC port if it ever happens. And right now, I'm just waiting for Fallout 76 to go live.
Yeah, isn't it? There's like an update for that game, Fallout 76. I think it's like 54
the
gigs.
The day one
just
patch?
54 gigs.
More,
yeah, day one
more,
patch is 54 gigs.
More than the game.
More than the beta. Because remember, the beta was basically the full thing. But for most betas and other early release opportunities like that, they don't give you all the assets. So... And this is going to give you, on top of assets, it's going to give you more map size. It's going to be fixes, updates, patches, more things to do.
I'm quite interested to see how this launch goes and people's opinions, because quite like Red Dead, I'm really not interested in Fallout 76. But I'm like, I want to be the person on the side with the popcorn, like watching everything happen with some of the mishaps from the beta. I like have question marks about how the full launch is going to go.
Like, what are the things that are worried about, though?
Well, wasn't there, like, a bug that accidentally, like, wiped your entire beta? Like, deleted it from computers?
It just, and that happened, I think it was, like, 4 hours before it went live. And they fixed it within that first hour. And they opened up the gateways so that people could download it quicker.
Yeah, so it's less that I think, like, something is going to go terribly wrong, and more that I think there will be, like, these kind of funny mishaps, and I'm quite interested to see what does happen, because it's the first time they're doing something of this style. And then I'm just not like, this is one of those games I might pick up eventually if I have enough friends playing it that I'm like, oh, it's worth giving a try, but I'm not like inherently interested myself. So I'm also quite looking to see everybody's first impressions once like the full game is live and you're going into the world with your buddies and things to like a greater degree than the beta.
Yeah, and I know another thing that people were really concerned about was the griefing in Fallout. Mm-hmm. I only had one experience where I had a much higher level character in my vicinity. They were wanted, which meant that they had already done multiple PvP kills and they had a wanted level. But they came over to me, they saw me, I saw them, they waved, I waved, they gave me the heart emoji, I gave them the heart emoji. And then he walked away and he went the opposite direction. Not going to lie, though. No, not going to lie. I had that feeling as if I was in the Division and I was in the red. I was in the DZ.
The Dark Zone.
And I was just
waiting for him to turn around.
Just, I was just waiting for the moment where I was going to get clapped and go to sleep, and it didn't happen. And I was like, I have all my junk. I can go. I'm out. Bye.
Exit stage left. I'm out of here.
And I was gone. And but that's part of the whole PvP experience. That's part of that anxiety that, oh, you don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm okay with that. So that being said, right now, Fallout 76 ranks a little bit higher on that scale as to whether I'm going to go all in on Red Dead Redemption. I don't have the need to do it anymore because it satisfies that itch.
Paris is smiling. She doesn't believe you. Because you know what I think it is? And Paris, you tell me if you agree with me. Once that online mode comes out, it's going to be a game changer for Pete.
Oh, for Red Dead? Well, I mean, look at GTA 5. Like, the big deal was GTA Online coming out. So...
Right, and I've done maybe an hour of GTA Online. It has nothing for me. So
my thing at this point isn't what Pete thinks about Red Dead or whether he plays it or not. And because I'm not you, Danny, and I've actually talked to Pete offline about this, so this isn't a surprise to him. I've not played Fallout 76. I've not played the beta. I'm literally only going by what I've seen on social media and just with various impressions on sites. It just does not look like a good game to me, but that's me. And to Pete, obviously it is. He's played it. He's experienced it. He feels compelled enough to want to throw his money at it. And that's fine. I need more convincing personally, because I'm not seeing it. And I'm very worried about that PC version because Bethesda, this looks like they're going to try and fix this on the fly instead of launching with a proper PC version. And that concerns me as well. And it looks, you know, being in security, it looks like you can hack the hell out of this game. And that concerns me as well. So I am definitely not picking this up anytime soon. Yeah, I was going to say, like, the closest
example, I guess, for Bethesda would be what? ESO? To, like, doing something of this scale on PC? Because everything else was single player RPGs. Yeah. So like in terms of like multiplayer. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those where like I've never been a huge Fallout fan. So I'm cool with waiting to decide on 76. And I had no interest in Red Dead Redemption. Right. So,
well, we're going to wrap it up here. Episode 812.
Wait, already?
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. Yeah, definitely.
We'll argue another time, Paris, about Diablo.
Yeah. Well,
I know he's trying to wrap it up, but I'll say this: since I wasn't on last episode, and yeah. I was on the plane flying back from Sweden, listening to this, and here almost got a parachute and jumped out. And I think this is why Mandy is here. That whole Diablo Blizzard thing, I will just simply say: know your audience, know who you were talking to at that time, and temper expectations accordingly. They easily could have fixed this instead of having the outrage about Diablo, the mobile game. It has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, but those people were going to be salty regardless.
No, but hear me out. I think the Diablo mobile game will be fine. This has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
But when you're at an event, which is your event, which has your most hardcore audience from around the world who has spent their money to be there, and you make that as your crown jewel announcement, don't be shocked when they're not happy about it. Look, the guy that got up and said the little snarky April Fool's thing, he's an a-hole. He should not have stood up and said that. That is ridiculous, and that's part of the problem with our society today, that you feel that you can be disrespectful like that and say something like that. Not arguing that at all. But to think that your hardcore audience is going to be excited about a Diablo mobile when you know they're expecting a Diablo 4, it's tone deaf to me. It's very tone deaf. They could have fixed it. And again, rumor, whatever it could have been. If they were thinking of announcing a Diablo 4, just put a screenshot up. That's it. Say, hey, oh, we're working on it. You know, TBD. That's it. And then that completely changes the narrative of everyone being so upset at that event. And that's all I'm saying on it. Whatever.
Could they have done it better? But I'm sorry. Anybody who thought Diablo 4 was going to get announced right now obviously doesn't know their history. It's 12 years normally between games. Like, it's the pipe dream to say that you were going to get an announcement at this point. Like...
I'm not a hardcore Blizzard guy.
That was the exact same thing I said last week on the show.
Like,
yes.
Okay. No.
From 1 to 2 was 6 years. 2 to 3 was 12 years. Then they had the Reaper of Souls release that came out on console. But if anybody thought it was going to be shorter than that, No.
If we get it in 8 or 10 years, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Expect it maybe in 19 or 20 or something like that. An announcement.
No, but here, I will say that Paris is not incorrect, that framing it and knowing your audience is relevant. I think we've seen other developers, for example, it's not exactly the same, but like Bethesda with Fallout Shelter was like, oh, well, here we've given you Fallout 4. And then, oh, by the way, Fallout Shelter. Ah! And so like there's ways they could have framed it better. But ultimately, this was the opening keynote. Like, it's not like this was the center of the event. So it's their event. They can kind of do what they want. And for all that a lot of people are complaining, at the same time, those people are probably also going to play the mobile game and spend money on it. So it's one of those where it's like, yes, could they have framed it in a better way? Do I think that they're, you know, in the wrong? No. Do I think that they should have anticipated some of the response? Sure. But also, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm like a hardcore Diablo fan that I was like, oh, I wasn't even expecting a Diablo 4 announcement at this point, because I know how this goes with them. They take years. I was not, even with rumors, I was not anticipating them making that announcement at the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to change my opinion. I already mentioned what I feel about it, but I totally agree with you, Mandy. The same people that complain, the same people are going to buy it. That's what's going to happen, man. So,
but that's not the point, though. The point isn't the people. The point is Blizzard, the company, coming out in the way they framed it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, the same people that are complaining, of course they're going to buy it. Of course, they always do. This is a society where all we do is bitch and complain about everything, right? I'm not denying that. I'm just saying they could have done a better job of framing the mobile announcement of Diablo. It came out, people got upset because they were like, wait, this is the next version of Diablo? What the fuck are you doing? Where's Diablo 4? They could have framed it better. They could have just been like, while we work on the next edition of Diablo, in the meantime, here's this mobile version we're doing, and we think you're going to love it. Done.
Well, I also think that that's like, that's, first off, that's a lot of idiots, because anybody that assumes that they're just going to drop core Diablo and go to mobile is living in a dreamland. But then the other thing, too, is like, I don't know. I guess it's one of those where I'm not familiar enough with BlizzCon to know the what the typical, like, what the focus is there. And I get that it's like a fan event, but I'm not sure or familiar enough with how often they have investor focus. So some of the things that they're going to probably pay attention to is like, what can we put out and then have the fans react to? But like, it's also one of those where, know your audience, but I hate this mentality that's like, okay, well, we have to only cater to our hardcore audience. So like, because they're the only ones that are here, they're the only ones that matter for this announcement. Cause that's frustrating.
I will say this. Your casual audience is the audience that comes and goes, right? Your hardcore audience, just literally the discussion we had with Destiny, your hardcore audience, they're the ones that are going to stay. They're the ones that are going to ride or die. So making again, with being married, happy wife, happy life, right? If Roxanne is upset, then the whole house is upset. That's the way I look at it with the hardcore audience, right? You need to make them happy first before you worry about a casual audience. And again, when you're at an event with your most hardcore people and you're talking to them directly in the crowd, of course, make an announcement like that is going to make them upset. That's all I'm saying. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Just be mindful of who you're talking to at that time. That's all I'm saying.
Anything else?
Well, all right. So there's multiple things to about this whole fiasco, I guess is probably the best way to say it. The fact that they ignored the fact that D4 is coming out and tried to supplant it with the D4 with the Diablo mobile thing was one thing. When the guy days afterwards, when it started getting leaked that there was a D4 that they wanted to release but they weren't ready for it, as Paris said, yes, they could have come around and said, look, you know, we know you guys are looking forward to this, but we're not ready to. And then do the, you know, and we hope that this is what you, you know, this, we hope that this will hold you over until we're ready for the announcement. There's multiple ways of handling this. I know some people don't like it, but I mean, and I may have to moonwalk on this. There are some people, I mean, there's some people in our Twitch chat right now that were actually there at the conference. If you spent $100-something to or $200 to go there, those are the people that are going to sit there and support your title over the next 5 or 6 years in between launches, right? Or in this case, maybe longer. We're talking 8 to 10 years. Those are the people that are going to constantly be feeding your title for the next 6 to 8 years, as opposed to the Dannys who may just come in for the quick, oh, let me check this out for 4 hours, and then, oh, it's not for me, bounce.
First of all, more than four hours.
But, and that's, here's, I really? Think it's, unfortunately, it's a line yeah. that we're having to measure, because it is a little bit of, like, yes, first off, not having gone to BlizzCon, for all that I love StarCraft and I love Diablo and I've been playing and giving money to those franchises for years, like, it's one of those where I'm like, the keynote is one portion of it, right? So, like, being like, oh, they wasted their money by making this announcement during the keynote, that's one portion yep. of all the things that happened during BlizzCon, is a little frustrating mm-hmm. because you're assuming that the money they put to their ticket was only for the announcements that happened during the keynote. And then second, as has popped up, and Cypher said this much better than I tried to articulate earlier in the chat, is that, like, again, I get that there's an idea of you wanting to deliver against the people that are your fans that stay here through thick and thin and that will continue to spend money. But again, it's that idea of, like, do you cater to them to the detriment of others? Because if you look at, like, Fallout Shelter, they made bank off of that mobile game. And that came both from hardcore fans and from casual people who just never really had the want to get into a full Fallout game. Like,
Let me ask you a question.
Go.
Did Bethesda announce Fallout Shelter as the crown jewel of their keynote at QuakeCon? Nope. They did it as an after announcement during an E3 press conference. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's the same thing. Know your audience.
Yeah, you can frame it, but the BS that they're getting for this is just basically people being, you know, hurt. Oh, they made a mobile announcement when I wanted this. Like,
again, know your audience. Know the people you, and I see in the chat, oh, entitlement, gamer entitlement, all that. Look, if I spend $2,000 to travel across the country to go come to Anaheim, California.
Oh, yeah, and you lost all of 5 minutes for a keynote for a multi-day event.
It's in the moment. All I'm saying is this, that these are the people that ride or die for you, right?
These are some of the people that ride or die for you.
I'm just saying.
The vocal minority, I think.
That's the thing. It's like, you can know your audience. Could they have framed it better? 100%. I'm not arguing that there was a better way.
But that's all I'm saying.
But the crap that they're getting, you're just being like, oh, well, they could have framed it better. Everything else is irrelevant. Like, no, everything else is not irrelevant. That is one part of a multi-part conversation here. It's like, dude.
Of course it is. And of course it is.
And part of my argument is like, hey, guess what? I know, because I'm one of these people. I've been here since the Diablo 1, since the original StarCraft, since the earlier Warcrafts. I didn't like them as much as the others. But, you know, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, they're a portion. This is a portion. Like, yeah, I was disappointed in that moment, but all these people are carrying that moment into weeks of, oh, damn you, Blizzard, and all of these greater things where it's like, no, just like, hey, I was unhappy. That wasn't cool. All right, now let's go on. Like, time to move on, guys. Guess what? Diablo 4 is going to come at some point. Probably not this year. Probably not next year.
And people are going to complain about Diablo 4, too. I can see something from that game, too, that is going to start a controversy, too, man.
Oh, yeah. People get angry all the time about Blizzard announcements. Yeah. You know how it is.
Hey, it's content. At least there's content coming. That's what I see it. You know,
so. I don't know. I disagree with the way Danny just said that.
You know what? I'm gonna say something to the chat real quick, because let's not frame it this way, because that is not what I'm saying. Just because you can afford to go to BlizzCon does not make you a better fan than someone that does not. But the people that can't afford to go, again, these are the hardcore people that will spend money and support your product. That is all I'm saying. So let's get past this entitlement nonsense. It's not about entitlement. It's about talking to the audience that you know is going to support you.
With your audience.
That's all I'm saying. It's like, God, it's like.
And I agree, Paris. I agree. I agree with you. But to me personally, I think it also goes both ways, man. The audience also got to, you know, respect the process too, Paris. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we agree with that. We're both. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Blizzard should have made it a little bit better when it comes to the announcement. That's fine. But that's the thing. That's their event. That's their event. That's their product.
Oh, they do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Blizzard can do whatever they want. All I'm saying is Monday morning quarterbacking it, looking back, is I think they could have been done a better job with the announcement. That's all. You know, it's not about gamer entitlement and what they want and they demand. They get what they get. You ain't getting Diablo 4 right now. You're getting a Diablo mobile game. I just think you could have messaged that a little better so that you set expectation on. Again, I think the mobile game's going to be fine. I don't think there's nothing wrong with them putting out a mobile Diablo game. That's freaking great. I just think that audience, you know that they're not going to be happy with not hearing anything about Diablo 4, so just frame it a little better. That's all.
Yeah, I guess
tone deaf.
I guess like the comments about the immediate of here's what they did, they could have done better during the keynote versus mine is the bigger controversy that it's occurred. So it wasn't just the keynote moment. It's everything that's following it afterwards. Like the people that are going out of their way to go dislike the video on YouTube and things like that are two different conversations. And I'm ultimately more concerned about the larger scale of this is what happened past the keynote and why I don't think it's okay versus the exact comment that Paris is making right here, which is yes, the exact way that they handled the keynote could have been framed back. Better. And I agree with that. They could have made that less detrimental to them, but in the larger scale of what's happening here, the way people are taking it past that moment into how they're reacting to other things from the company, into going out of their way to make it worse. The dude talking about the April Fool's joke, like that's where I think the issue is here. And that's more of what my concern is and why I'm having this conversation is like, one, how you message during a show is different about how everybody continues to drag it through the mud past that, and why I think that there's an issue that should be addressed here, which is not going like, oh, they should have framed it better. Okay, the conversation's done. We just won't touch everything else that's happening as well, because it does tie into like people being like, oh, this is what I wanted, or oh, I spent this money to get this portion, this one portion of here's what I felt into a larger like, oh, my show's now ruined. Like, no, all the other stuff is still there.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up here. Because I honestly, I don't know what's going on in the chat, so I know you got messed in the chat a couple times.
Dave's like,
We know you don't know what's going on. You don't read.
So I don't have my browser open, man, because I've been having issues with my computer. I just don't want to.
He's like, I just record. I ignore everything else.
He can't multitask. Record. We know this. He doesn't multitask. Yeah.
So yeah, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. You could also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamerTagRadio.
All right, Mandy, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for joining.
It's always fun. It's good to hop in.
Paris, you're going to say something? You were going to say something, Paris?
No, I was going to say you forgot to also say you can find this on the Atari 7800.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Vectrex. And the Vectrex.
Commodore 64.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time. Oh, Mandy, if people want to follow you, mention your Twitter account.
You can find me on Twitter at LadyLuck34.
Oh, before we end this, see?
Oh, my God. We're never going to finish.
I know we're never going to finish, but see what happens when Mandy comes on and we start arguing. It happens.
I told you that was us here.
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
You said we're going to never end it, so I was quiet. We keep going.
We're going to wrap it up. Until next time. Peace.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.